So we're going to hear now our two readings for today, two New Testament readings, beginning with 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be?
As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Those members of the body that we think less honourable, we clothe with greater honour, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honour to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
So I think only a short sermon is needed, because Paul makes such a good point. In the earlier reading that we had, Paul makes such a good point and makes it well. This illustration of the body is one that works so well, he lets it fill this whole chapter, just in case anyone should miss the message. The body of Christ on earth is made of many different parts, just like a biological human body, all need to work together for the common good. There should be no hierarchy of importance, but unity. All should rejoice together or feel pain together. The fragile or less respectable members of the body should be treated with extra care or extra honour. All have important roles to play. And the Corinthian church he was writing to was certainly a very varied church with diversity in culture and background. Some had been Jews, others had been pagan Greeks. Some were free people and wealthy, others were actually slaves. Some would be black or white, Asian or Middle Eastern. As a large trade center, there would be people from all over the world. Some would be male and some female, and there would be those who would consider themselves neither. Some would be old and experienced in life, but not so experienced in following Jesus, as that was quite new. And there would be many children within the family of the church who might fit in very well with this new thing Jesus was calling them to. For to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. If the church was going to work, all needed to feel valued and all needed to play their part. And they needed to love one another while valuing their differences and diversity. This is something the church is currently perhaps not very good at, struggling with, trying to work through. We might be tempted to say things like, we need to love each other despite our differences, because we still believe deep down that differences are a bad thing, that diversity is a cause for suspicion, that different views to ours are somehow threatening, and that different cultures might upset the way we do things. Well, Paul was keen to point out that each had a valuable role to play. The church could only live up to its potential if everyone played their part. Sometimes on his journeys, when he didn't have a church around him, he said that he tried to be like all things to all people, and he knew how hard that could be. How much better to use the diverse and varied gifts God had given the church, the diverse and varied God-given gifts of many. And so the body of Christ is not just here. It's not just with us. It's not just in this church or that church. The Holy Spirit connects churches together. So the body of Christ is spread all over the world. Our sisters and brothers in Uganda are just as much a part of the body of Christ as we are, or our siblings in America. So when we help to build a school or give an education to children in one part of the world, and they help to inspire our worship here, we are doing what God intends and making connections, building one another up. And that's always been true. We seem to think it's a new thing with our modern technology. Well, our modern technology and travel certainly helps to make it a little bit easier. But Paul, in the early days, used to go around asking for collections for money from some churches to help others that were in need. And he used the example of faith of some Christians to encourage others in their faith. No church is an island. It's the way Christ works. It's the way the church has always been or meant to have been. And then when we come to the gospel reading, we find Jesus in his home village of Nazareth, in the synagogue where he grew up, invited to read the scriptures and to teach. And he found some words from Isaiah that summed up his mission. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And the church will always do well to remember that Jesus chose these words because in the words of this anointed one from Isaiah, Jesus found his purpose, his identity, his manifesto. This is how he sees his mission. If we ever stray too far from that mission, we're heading in the wrong direction. The church is called for a purpose. The body of Christ has many parts working together for a purpose. And that purpose should be not for anyone's political gain or personal honor or financial reward or any other self-centered motive. But it should always be something to do with bringing good news to those who are poor, proclaiming release to those who have been held captive, opening the eyes of the blind, bringing light to those in darkness, letting the oppressed go free, setting at liberty the downtrodden, the abused, the persecuted, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, a jubilee, a new start. The age of mercy has begun with Jesus as Lord. And there will be many different ways we can be part of this. Through our actions, through our prayers, through our giving, through our work and service in the church and community, through our words to one another, the encouragement we give, and sometimes simply through being here or being there for one another. And we should remember that what we're doing is being part of Christ's work. It's not our work. It's not our individual ministries. It's Christ's work. Something so much bigger than we can imagine. And we're invited to be part of it by God's grace. So may we as a church work together with others here and around the world, with all who are called to be Christ's disciples, and each play our part in bringing about God's kingdom. Amen.